We're back again, folks. H10, Hanshin Tigers English News. This will be our last podcast of the playing season for the Hanshin Tigers because, unfortunately, the playoffs are now over. I'm your host, T-Ray. With me, as always, my faithful co-host,
Wizzo. I am here. I'm alive.
Good to have you back. It's not under the best circumstances, but it's always good to hear your voice, Wizzo. So tell me something. Now that the baseball season is over, what are you going to do with all your free time? I mean, 6 days a week of watching baseball or following baseball now becomes like free time. So what are you going to do?
You know, it's funny. I mean, we got so involved in this year, right? You know, it's almost like we're brainwashed now. But the season's over, and I pick right up tomorrow with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got a Monday night game in San Diego, so I'm back to my hometown sports teams. You know, the Pirates are out, the Tigers are out, and now I got the Steelers. So that's
there. You go.
Spending time with the family as much as I can and stuff like that. So, and I'll throw that question right back at you as far as what you're going to do.
Well, you know, you pretty much wrapped it up there with just a few words, spending time with family. And I mean, you know, I've always heard talk about baseball widows and football widows and, you know, all these wives that have to put up with their husbands, you know, completely immersing themselves in whatever sports season is their sport of choice. And this is really the first year that I've done it from start to finish, man. And I just need to get back with spending time with my wife and my son and not spending so much time blogging and podcasting and all that stuff. But I will keep doing that stuff. Don't worry about that. Hey, just a real quick question before we move on to the rest of the show, Wizzo. Are you going to follow the MLB playoffs at all, or are you kind of not interested?
Nah, you know, if I'm in the gym, they usually have the games on because of the time difference here. So, yeah. So-and-so's winning. That's it. You know, the Pirates are out. You know, Cleveland Indians, they're not in it. So my teams are done. You know, that's...
Gotcha. Well, I'm hoping that the Blue Jays will be able to get a couple more wins here off of the Texas Rangers and they can stay alive and move forward to the ALDS. But I'm not going to follow it real closely either. You know, pretty much the same as you. Like, I'll check box scores and stuff like that, but I probably won't spend much time watching. Anyways, folks, let's move back to the NPB and the Hanshin Tigers. On today's show, we are going to talk in depth about the series that was. We played 3 games in Tokyo Dome against the Giants, and we're going to talk about that. And after that, we may get into some postseason, off-season talk, but we may not. Let's see how we do with time. Stick around. We'll be back in a bit. Wizzo, so we had 3 games at Tokyo Dome, and, you know, for the record, the Tigers were 2 wins and 11 losses in the regular season in Tokyo against the Giants. So it was looking pretty hopeless. And like I said in last week's show, I predicted Giants in 2, pretty unpopular choice, but I really kind of thought that's what would happen. Let's talk about game 1 in Tokyo Dome. And I mean, it was pretty exciting the way the Tigers got into the playoffs because, as we talked about last week, right? We said, if Hiroshima wins on Wednesday, we're out. If they lose, we're in. And I said, I hope they lose. What happened, Wizzo?
We have to talk about the carp. We got into the playoffs, and I was happy about that. I was very excited about that kind of stuff. But watching Hiroshima lose 3-0 to Chunichi, that was awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chunichi Dragons. Thank you so much, hungover Yakult Swallows, for beating the Carp in the previous week to give us that chance, because we didn't deserve it based on our 6-0 loss last Sunday at home to Hiroshima. Anyways, back to the main topic, Tokyo Dome, game 1. It's exciting because the Tigers don't belong there, but yet they're there. So it's kind of like they got nothing to lose, and let's move forward with it and see what we can do. Well, we brought Shintaro Fujinami to the mound. They brought Miles Michaelis to the mound. And it took a while for anything to get going. You know, we went through four innings with no runs scored, not many hits. And then in the bottom of the fifth, the Giants put together a couple of hits and scored a run on a bloop single to right, a sacrifice bunt, and then of all people to get the RBI, Wiz, your boy Miles Michaelis, RBI double to right center to score the first run of the game. What do you think?
I tell you what, when I missed that play and I saw the highlight, it's like, whatever, Michaelis, I don't know what it is, man. You know what? It's his diva wife. I don't even want to get into it, but I just don't like Michaelis. You know that.
We're not going to spend the whole show talking about the diva. No, we're not. Well, this is something interesting that I heard somebody grumbling about. One of the play-by-play guys after the game, I forget who it was. He said, I think it was Nomura, Katsuya Nomura. And he said that Umeno, who was calling the game for Fujinami, went all fastballs against Ibata. And then threw a fastball for the sacrifice bunt. So he'd gone five or six straight pitches with fastball. He said, why on earth did he keep calling fastball against Michaelis? Like, why not throw a breaking ball in there to break up the monotony? Michaelis was standing in the on-deck circle watching fastball after fastball after fastball. So he was probably sitting on that fastball. Why didn't he throw him something off speed? You know, and Michaelis drove it hard. I mean, it was a good hit. And I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to, you know, downplay it just because he's a pitcher. It was a well-hit ball, and Fujinami regretted it later, definitely. So that was that, 1-0 after five. And, you know, again, we're like, when are we going to score off of this guy? You know, it was really frustrating to see Michael as dominating us again. However, bottom of the sixth inning, Fujinami kind of strikes again. I don't know. He's got issues throwing to first base, my friend. After Chono singled to center, Fujinami tried a pickoff move and blew it. So Chono managed to get to third base, and it was an easy RBI single for Kamei, the next batter. Actually, he hit one, and it ricocheted off of Fujinami's glove and dribbled into left field. So, Chono scored easily. 2-0 after six innings, and all of a sudden, it's looking pretty bad. For us. But top of the seventh, Fukudome single, Mertens single, Shunsuke with the pinch bunt. It's one out, right? Because Gomez got out somehow there. Umeno, RBI single to center. Nishioka, sacrifice fly to center. And unfortunately, the inning ended with a pickoff. Umeno tried to steal second. And got run down between first and second. Almost made it to second in the rundown, but didn't. Inning over, but the damage had been done. Tie game 2-2. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I was glad, and I was very happy to see this team fight back. I mean, honestly, yes, Michaelis is a good pitcher. I'll use your words. I'm not going to downplay that. He's a good pitcher. And we've always had trouble against this guy, and now we're getting runs against him. So it's like, heck yeah, we kind of turned that corner, which led us to getting back into the game, tie game, and then the rest happened.
Yeah. Yeah, the rest happened, but actually it was pretty good after that. Iwazaki came in as a reliever for Fujinami in the seventh, and he pitched two solid innings. He allowed one hit, and that's it. But he was good. Like we've said all along, man, the guy is good for like once through the order, maybe twice, and he did a great job. So through eight innings, the Giants still didn't have any runs, so it's still 2-2. We got two guys on base in the eighth, but we weren't able to score. Then we got in the ninth, we got to Sawamura, their closer. And we got one hit off of him, Umeno, his third hit of the game. Excellent, but unfortunately that was it. And then at the bottom of the ninth, Ando came in and everybody said, doh. But actually he did all right. He allowed one hit, held on with a couple of grounders and a strikeout. So we're going to extra innings here in the first game of the series. Pretty exciting stuff. The Giants kept Sawamura in the game for the 10th and he got us 1-2-3, bottom of the 10th, this is where we can say, and do. Do you remember what happened?
Are you talking about the pitch?
I'm talking about the bottom of the 10th inning, the whole thing. How the Giants beat us in game one.
Oh, good Lord have mercy. What did I read? Because I got stuck on that last pitch. I got stuck on it. I believe we had three straight walks.
Okay, yeah, it was kind of. Sakamoto was walked by Ando. And then Abe grounded out to third, but the runner advanced to second. And then Chono was intentionally walked to set up a potential double play. So then they have runners on first and second with one out. Kamei walked. By the way, Takamiya had replaced Ando at this point. So Takamiya intentionally walked Chono, walked Kamei. So now the bases are loaded. Still one out. And they bring in their old guy, Yoshinobu Takahashi, to pinch hit for Sawamura. And he walked. The winning run of the game was a walk-off walk. 3-2, Giants lead the series 1-0. Now you remember. Tell us about the pitch, Wizzo.
To me, when I saw the pitch, it looked like a strike. It was on the inside part of the plate at the knees. That's a strike. And what's funny is later on that night, I was looking at Twitter, and I can't remember the site or the page that posted it, but they actually posted still photos of the umpire looking at the glove, the knees of the player. It's a strike. It is, to me, it was a strike just based off those still photos. But then again, the still photos we saw of the Hiroshima game, that wasn't a home run. You know how that ended. But to me, it looked like a strike in that kind of a ball game. It was me as a as a completely fair umpire. I'm calling strike.
Well, and that's the thing, though, Wizzo. I mean, you're right. You know, the umpires are going to give us calls, bad calls in our favor, and then we're going to get the bad calls against us as well. So that's life. But yeah, the other thing is, I felt the same way about Sakamoto's at bat, the first at bat of the inning, where it was full count, and Ando, who's known for having good control, threw one that was, you know, could have been called a strike, except that we're playing in Tokyo Dome against the Giants, and the Giants captain is up at the plate. So what's the umpire to do, right? Yeah. He's got to do the right thing and give the Giants that home field advantage, and that's what happened. It's kind of too bad.
Yeah, I wonder if he's part of that gambling. Never mind, I don't want to talk about the gambling issue.
Nah, we can leave that one for another off-season talk once the story unfolds a little bit more. Let's move on to game two, if you don't mind. We brought Randy Messenger to the mound, and, you know, this is a guy that went four straight good outings without a win to end the season. I felt real bad for him. I don't know about you.
In the regular season or in this game right here?
In the regular season, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Come on, man. He goes out there and he puts on his show, you know. But how many times have we talked about on this show about his lack of run support? So a little bit felt bad for, you know, Randy out there. He's a big dude. He can overcome those obstacles. But here we are. We're in the postseason. Sure. 0-0.
Interesting thing you said, though, Wizzo. About a month and a half ago or so, when we talked about Randy being the ace and how it's unfair that he doesn't get run support, and what could the guy do with a bit of a lead, you know? And so in this game, he got that lead, and a decent lead at that, right from the start. Toritani walked, then he was bunted over by Uemoto. Hey, sounds just like Wada of old, right? So he hasn't changed. Fukudome struck out. But then Gomez came to the plate and smashed a ball over the left field wall. So 2-0, Matt Merton came in and said, hey, I can do that too. And he didn't even wait more than one pitch to smash one over the left field wall as well. So 3-0. And here we go. Randy Messenger's got a 3-run lead. Man, was that ever exciting to watch Gomez and Merton both step up in the same inning against Sugano, an ace pitcher, nephew of Giants manager Tatsunori Hara, and birthday boy of the day. So that was just a great way to start off his day.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I mean, I didn't get to watch the beginning of this game, But I do remember just reading the board, and I was like, oh my goodness, Gomez? And then next thing you know, Mert, you know, and someone made a comment, you know, it's snowing. I mean, it's crazy. But yeah, it was great. 3-0. And I've said before, if you give Messenger a lead, now it's him against the players or him against the batters where he can just start doing things differently. He doesn't have to go with, oh, here we go, tight lead. I got to be careful with this, careful with this. Now he can just kind of pump on all cylinders, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, you know, the Gomez-Merton back-to-backs were a bit reminiscent of last year's playoffs where I think they did the same thing. And certainly last year there was a little bit more of that kind of, you know, number four, number five hitters just getting it done than this year, unfortunately. Anyways, yeah, so with that 3-run lead, Messenger actually gave up a leadoff triple to their first batter, Tateoka. And it probably should have been a double, but Egoshi bobbled it in center field and he easily made it to third base. Kind of irrelevant because actually Messenger allowed 3 hits in the inning in total. One of them resulted, pardon me, it wasn't even a hit. It was a ground out that resulted in a run scored. But after 2 more hits and runners on first and second, Messenger was able to strike out Ibata to end the inning. So 3-1 Tigers at this point. And it stayed that way for a good while. We got a couple of hits and a couple of walks, and they got a couple of hits and walks and stuff too. But in the top of the fourth, things again kind of worked out well in the Tigers' favor. Egoshi got a single to center. Fuji actually took the next pitch to left field. And then Messenger was up at the plate, and he was called to bunt. Again, what a surprise, Wada asking a pitcher to bunt. It didn't work out so well, except that it did because Sugano handled it and threw it into left field instead of third base. So Egoshi scored a run, 4-1. Fuji tried to advance to third on that, but unfortunately he got thrown out. And then we weren't able to score any more runs that inning, but still 4-1 lead, looking pretty good for us at this point, eh, Wizzo?
Yeah, I mean, 4 runs, and we're beating up Sugano. That's rare.
Yep. Yep, for sure. Actually, that ended up being the end of Sugano's night. So he, or his day, I should say, he actually also bunted into a double play. So congratulations, Sugano. Happy birthday again to you. You stink. But yeah, that was great. Unfortunately, we were not able to score any more runs the rest of the game. We got, you know, a few more hits. We got a couple more walks, but nobody scored anything. And then in the bottom of the seventh, Messenger allowed a leadoff solo home run to Leslie Anderson on a ball that did not look like it was hit very hard and definitely didn't look like it was going to clear the fence, but it did. And you could see by Messenger's reaction afterwards, he was just like, oh man, but he was also kind of like, well, it's Tokyo Dome. What do you expect? I mean, those balls just make it out. And, you know, there's all this, there's talk of them possibly, kind of altering the fans or whatever when the, Giants are about bat so that the ball travels more. And then they switch the direction of the winds when the Giants are, or when the opponents are at bat. I don't know if that's founded or not, but, you know, Anderson's ball got out. So 4-2, but Messenger got out of the inning. All right. After that, he allowed one more hit, but it was a broken bat single, nothing very hard hit. And, yeah, that was it for Messenger's night. 121 pitches, 9 hits allowed, 2 walks. So he actually allowed a good number of base runners, but only 2 of them ended up scoring. He was exactly what we needed. So good for him.
Yeah, that Anderson home run. I mean, when I saw it hit, I was like, okay. And then you see Merton going back and back. That was an odd looking, like, end of the bat. I don't know. It was just odd. And so that's probably why Messenger even looked at it, was like, what? That's not your typical home run, man. It just looked weird. It didn't even look like he hit the ball right, but
no, it looked like a high fly ball. It looked like it was going to be like maybe warning track, maybe even sure, in front of the warning track, but it carried, man. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, so, but yeah, hey, Messenger got the win finally. Not a no decision, you know? So that was great. We beat up Sugano. I mean, we you know, ruined his day, thank God. And so things were looking on the up and up, man. That was great.
Yeah, for sure. Just to finish off the game recap, for those that maybe missed the end of the game, Takamiya and Ando both got a chance to redeem themselves in the eighth inning, and they both did fine. Takamiya actually only faced one batter, a lefty, you know, because Takamiya is a lefty and Wada loves the matchup. Then Ando came in and allowed one hit, but also got two outs pretty easily. So, yeah, that was great. And then in the ninth, top of the ninth, the Tigers had huge opportunity. Fukudome double, followed by, that was a one-out double, by the way, followed by a Gomez single, so we got runners on first and third. Merton walked, so we got bases loaded with one out. But we got Imanari striking out and Egoshi popping up to center, and that was that. So, you know, it looked like a huge chance for us to bust things open, but alas, it wasn't meant to be. Fortunately, Fukuhara came in and shut the door, allowing a double to Takahashi, but that's it. His inning was pretty effortless. But before we finish talking about this game, or before we move on, how did this game end, Wizzo? The last play of the game.
This game?
Yeah, you remember the ground ball to second base?
Oh! Man, this was Yamato. Holy cow. I was sitting there thinking of Mathiason, who, I don't know, just brought back memories of Merton's hit. Yamato, I tell you right now, that was the best play of the year. Hands down, the best play in, I don't care, any other team. You put him up against it. That dude ran over, stretched, jumped, got on his feet, and threw that dude out probably half an inch before it touched the bag, before the Chono's foot touched the bag. That guy right there, that was an amazing play. I will put that up against any other play out there. But holy,
oh, sure,
man. Wow. That was, I'm still watching it today, just like, yeah, Yamato, right on.
So for those of you who haven't seen it, go to the website www.thehanshintigers.com, and at the very bottom of the Game 2 summary, you'll see a link to it. So click on that link and watch the video and prepare to be amazed, because for all the times that Wizzo says wow, it still doesn't do it justice. So go for it, folks. Look it up. Yeah, incredible play. And that's going to bring us to some interesting questions in future podcasts about what to do with Yamato, who, as you remember, last offseason was absolutely outstanding in center field. And then here he's showing amazing skill in at second base. So you really feel like, man, we can't do without this guy's glove in the field. But at the same time, we can't have a 225 hitter who can't even bunt to save his life this year. And, you know, he just wasn't doing anything right at the plate. So we'll talk about that another time. Let's move on to Game 3, the deciding game, which was today. We brought Nomi to the mound. They brought Aaron Poreda to the mound. And so, actually, I missed the first four innings of the game, roughly, because I had to work today. Poor me, I know. And I wasn't able to record the BS satellite feed of the game. So I was only able to record from the fourth or fifth inning until the end of the game. But in the first four innings, fortunately for me, not a whole lot happened. Nomi gave up a leadoff triple to Tateoka. So that's two games in a row. Tateoka got a leadoff triple. And Abe ended up cashing him in on a sacrifice fly. So that was 1-0. And then the rest of the four innings were pretty clean on both sides. In fact, it was completely clean on Poreda's side. He did not allow a single hit or walk through four innings. And I'm sure that there was a lot of screaming of, where's the effort, Tigers? Where's the effort on the Facebook page? But the fifth inning, the floodgates kind of opened for the Tigers. Not enough to score a run, unfortunately, but Mauro Gomez got a double. Matt Merton got a single. We got runners on first and second. No outs. Looks like a great opportunity. Unfortunately, Poreda came back with two straight strikeouts against Sekimoto and Egoshi. And then one of your boys, Ryota Arai, came in as a pinch hitter for Tsuruoka and grounded out to shortstop. End of the threat, no runs scored. What a bummer, but also that's kind of typical of the Tigers' season thus far, right, Wizzo?
Yeah, I mean, 14, you know, so we've left so many men on base and have done nothing, you know, it's terrible. And I mean, at some point I was like, dang, this dude comes in as a pinch hitter with runners on. He's getting RBIs. He's getting doubles. Well, that went away. So, man, can't have that happen.
See, yeah, see, his story this year was being super clutch with the bases loaded. So I guess we just needed that one more base runner in order for him to come up and do something huge. But I guess it wasn't meant to be. Well, anyways, we'll fast forward to the bottom of the sixth inning, and Nomi has left the game because his turn in the batting order came up in the top of the sixth, and obviously Wada saw it fit to replace him with a pinch hitter. You know, in case you're not aware of this, fans and also Wizzo, the Tigers could not settle for a tie in this game, so they needed at least two runs with four innings left to go. And I don't blame Wada for this. I wouldn't call this Wada disaster, him pulling Nomi, even though Nomi was pitching well. Unfortunately, Uemoto popped out, and it was a wasted pinch hit. But anyways, Iwata came to the dish in the bottom of the sixth and proceeded to fall apart. He gave up a single, a bunt, a single, and so there were runners on first and third with one out. Then he was facing Shinnosuke Abe, who, for all his struggles this year, is still an incredible batter. And I'll tell you, he got a hit. He got an RBI, so the Giants got their second run of the game. But I would not blame Iwata on this at all. In fact, even Sakamoto's single was not an incredible hit. And Abe, just an incredible piece of batting. You know, I'll give him full credit where it's due, because the pitch was out of the strike zone, and he lunged to save himself from striking out because he had already committed to the pitch. And when he lunged and swung, he managed to find a gap between first and second. So, you know, good hit by Abe. That was the second run. Unfortunately, the third run of that inning was the backbreaker for the Tigers. And Umeno, who had come in to catch, kind of stepped in front of the plate and called time and did like a bunch of sign language stuff to Iwata to try and tell him something. And Iwata threw the next pitch in the dirt. I'm not sure if that's what Umeno asked him to do, but probably not. Well, anyways, the ball kind of got out of Umeno's reach, and so he had to scramble to get it. And Sakamoto, who was on third, took a big gamble and ran for home and barely beat out the tag. Umeno ran over and dove to try and tag him, and it was a split-second thing, man. They showed that super slow motion so many times just to show people what a great effort it was on both players' parts. Well, 3-0 now for the Giants, and I think Iwata stayed in and allowed one more hit, and then I guess Wada had had enough, and understandably, because Iwata really didn't do anything well there. And so Sayuchi came in and finished off the inning, but the damage had been done, 3-0. Did you catch that inning at all, Wizzo?
I did not catch any of it. The Facebook faithful, you know, were posting the comments. I was just looking at one of the links that they posted, you know, watching the box score live, so to speak, and you know, so all I'm reading are words and just seeing pitches and stuff like that. So no, I mean, being down 3-0 is just, you know, a heartbreaker, man. It's like, good Lord, don't let it end this way.
Yeah. Well, it didn't end that way. And, Fukudome came up in the top of the seventh as the leadoff hitter. And, he took the second pitch that he saw over the right field wall. Great piece of hitting himself. And so it's kind of cool to see the number 3, 4, and 5 batters for the Tigers all get a home run in the postseason. That's kind of neat. Unfortunately, that was it for Poreda, because maybe we finally had figured him out. But Canadian Scott Mathewson came in, and he rang up Gomez and Merton, and then he got Sekimoto to fly out, so the inning was over. But still, we got a run on the board, which is nice. It's nice to not be shut out. And, you know, we're hoping that maybe we can score another couple runs and at least force extra innings and try and win it in extra innings. Nothing happened in the bottom of the seventh or top of the eighth, or the bottom of the eighth for that matter. So the top of the ninth, this is it. The Tigers are down to the last 3 outs of the season unless a miracle happens. And the Giants are bringing in their closer, Sawamura, much hated by Tigers fans and for good reason. And so Toritani took the second pitch that he faced, and he laced it to deep right. It almost went off the wall. Like, it was a really hard hit line drive. But because it was so hard hit, he only made it to first base on the play. He didn't get a double out of it. We brought in Nishioka to pinch hit, and he did his job. He blooped a single to center. So now we've got runners on first and second with no outs. Exciting stuff. And who have we got coming up to the plate? Fukudome, Gomez, Merton, three guys who have hit home runs this series already, and one swing of the bat could give the Tigers the lead. Well, unfortunately, we got a ground out of Fukudome, and at the very least, the runners moved over to second and third, so now all of a sudden, a single could tie the game. But Gomez struck out, and I really saw that coming, especially after strike two. It was like, okay, strike two usually means strike three with Gomez, and sure enough, that's what happened. And then Merton, you know, this is a guy who's maybe facing Giants pitching for the last time in his career. Could be his last at-bat in Japan, for all we know. So all the weight of the world is on him here, and unfortunately, all he managed was a ground out to shortstop. Game over. 3-1 final. Giants win. They advance to face the Yakult Swallows in round two. So I don't even want to say congratulations to the man, but good job, Tigers. Good fight this year. It's really unfortunate the way it ended, but I'm still proud of the work they did in the postseason. I think they battled hard, and I'm looking forward to what's going to happen next year. Any comments on the game here, Wizzo?
Hey, you know, we tried. That's all you can do in these games. I mean, I know we sit here, we're like armchair quarterbacks, you know, it's like, we know everything. You know, we watch them. They're out there. They're playing. They're putting in their effort. They're putting in their time. You know, they're pro baseball players. It's just sometimes that's the way it goes for us, man. And it's the way it's gone all year. It's like we'll win six, lose seven. Win three, lose five. That's just the way it is, man. And to lose to this Tokyo team, man. Gosh, hate to say it, but hey, we tried and we came up short. That's all it was. So.
Well, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see them get absolutely destroyed by the Yakult Swallows, because that's what I think is going to happen. I don't know how many games it's going to take, but I don't think that the Giants stand a chance. You know, as good as their pitching is, the Swallows' bats are better, and the Swallows have incredible pitching, especially their relief squad. I really don't see the Giants scoring a lot of runs, because if they couldn't score a lot against us, and they couldn't score a lot all year, they ain't going to score a lot against Yakult. Wizzo, let's move on and just kind of talk about the season in general and the impressions that you have. I'll start, and then if you want to add comments on what I say, that's cool. But for me, the first kind of source of alarm this year was right at the start when the offseason ended without us adding anybody to our lineup. And Toritani, you know, was talking about going to MLB, and he couldn't find a deal, and he came back to the club, and everybody was so glad. And I remember a lot of reporters and even management said, our best offseason acquisition was Toritani. And I was thinking, come on, is that the best you can do? I mean, I know he was expected to leave, but we needed to actually improve on last year's team, not just keep it the same. And that's essentially what we did. So to me, that was a big red flag. And you know, even when the Tigers swept the first series of the season, and even after they were 5-2, you can look back in my archives if you just type in rant. If you go to the webpage and type in rant in the search tool, you'll find it. After the team was 5-2, I said, this is not a 5-2 team, and this is not a first place team. Look out, because there's a lot of holes in this team. And, you know, through the first couple months of the year, we struggled. You know, after we were 5-2, we started to lose, and we stayed below 500 for a long time. And I think it took until just after Interleague to get above 500. But then we hovered at 500 right until the All-Star break, which is when we started the podcast, right, Wizzo?
Yes, I believe we were a game above.
We were game below, I think, when we started.
Oh, okay, we'll dig this one up and see. We might have been at 500.
Yeah.
Look that one up. I thought we were one above, which is probably why I went for the 40 mark.
Okay. Well, anyways, any comments on the first, like the start to the season or anything like that?
ups and downs, man. You know, first of all, this page, you know, when I got on it and we started digging more in depth as far as the Tigers and, you know, reading stats and stories and everything, you know, wasn't much, you know, but, you know, our pitching wasn't the greatest. This year, didn't we send Messenger down to the farm? So that kind of tells you a little bit. You know, so blown saves by man, it's just a lot of ups and downs. I mean, like we've been saying all year, it's like we will winning streak and then lose and then lose and lose. And it's just like, good Lord, we couldn't stay consistent throughout the beginning of the year, but we did good in interleague play, which is kind of amazing. So, at least coming back from the interleague play, you know, starting that second half of the year, it's kind of like starting all over again, you know, 0-0, but it was rough. I mean, it is what it is now, you know what I mean? But we had some chances to improve on our faults, and we didn't improve that much to make a big difference.
Yeah, well, I think, unfortunately, I honestly feel like maybe we entered the season and even played out most of the season deceived by ourselves that we were a good enough team to win the Central League. And, you know, as play continued and as the team continued to remain in contention through July, August, and even the start of September, you know, a lot of people were saying, hey, the team is playing well below its potential and they're still contending for first place. Once they start playing better baseball, this thing's ours. And that's just foolish logic. And I actually bought into it for a while as well. So I think that was one of the big problems, was just, I think we overestimated our abilities. We overestimated our talent. And I think that's kind of typical of the Hanshin media scene and maybe even typical of Hanshin Tigers fans. I think a lot of times we think that, oh yeah, you know, Imanari's a great third baseman. Well, yeah, but he does nothing but hit singles. And as we saw in this climax series, he sometimes buckles under pressure. Oh, Uemoto's a good second baseman. He's got good speed. Yeah, but he also leads the league in errors, and he's prone to inconsistency as well. Oh, yeah, but look at Fukudome. He's awesome. Well, he is. He's a great hitter, but he's prone to slumps as well. He was not, like, a league leader in any category. He was top five in a lot of things, but, you know, that does not make a superstar. You know, so we had all these kind of like, I think we have all these false impressions of our players that they are better than they actually are. Yeah.
Well, I think you said before, and I don't get the media from the Kansai area down here, but Ego Shi was another one, right? Where he was all hyped up to be, you know, this great player, and he just had what, like 10 Ks in a row at one point?
I don't think it was 10 Ks in a row, but he went 0 for 12 with 7 Ks after he had that hot streak. And then from that point, he just kind of fizzled out. But yeah, definitely. He was one that ended up being quite hyped because he had a good maybe 10 game stretch. And then after that, he went cold for a long time. And finally, actually in these playoffs, he seemed to do all right. He got a few solid hits, but this is a guy that definitely has a lot of room for growth, and hopefully he will get a chance to grow in the off season, in the spring, and then also in the season to come. So post All-Star break, anyways, just to kind of go back to season recap or season impressions, I think the Tigers played their best ball after the All-Star break. From that point until the end of their super long road trip was where they just played incredible ball. I'm just going to kind of guide you through their series here, and we can kind of talk about it a bit if you want. But we took 2 out of 3 from the Giants at Koshien. Then we took 2 out of 3 from DeNA at Koshien. Then we won 2 straight against the Dragons in Nagoya. Then we took 1 out of 3 from Yakult at Koshien. That was the end of our homestand. And then we went on the road, and we went 2-1, 2-1, 3-0 in Osaka, 1-2. Then we went 0-3, 3-0 again in Osaka, then 1-1, And that was the end of the road trip. And that was really the end of the great stretch for the Tigers. After that, it just kind of fell apart from the end of August through the end of the season. September, October, we were 9-16-1. And we ended August on a little 1-3. Pardon me. We went 0-2 against Hiroshima that week. So we ended August with a 1-4 skid as well. So if you put those together, we went, help me with the math here, we went 10-20-1 to end the season. Pretty terrible end.
Wow. Well, I remember talking like, man, you go to like Koshien and that's it. You're losing. You know what I mean? It's like when you play at Koshien, that's it. Whoever walks into that park, that's a loss. It's a loss for them. And then, man, we just, September was horrible. I don't think September very friendly to us. I mean, we just didn't. One of these guys just got complacent. I know Pee Wee Bats and everything got it, but I'm just, one of these guys got complacent. You know, he kind of talked about the talent and the way they, you know, what they carried over from the previous season. You know, I just wonder if they, throughout the years, or throughout the season, they just got complacent where they're like, ah, Koshien, we got this. I don't know, but I'm just, man, boy, that was rough.
Yeah, I don't think so. Actually, you know, the beginning of their losing ways coincided with the media reports that came out that WADA was being renewed for 2016, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Right at the end of August, that came out. And they said, well, I don't see any reason that he's not going to be renewed. You know, the team is in first place and they've been fighting hard all year. And he's been putting together wins in spite of the poor statistics that the team has put out. And then that's when the team really fell apart. Like I said, they went 1-4 that week. And then in September, they just completely melted down. So I don't want to blame WADA for that. But certainly, I think maybe it took a bit of the wind out of the players' sails because rumor has it that he's not a very popular manager amongst his players. So, by the way, let's just real quick give a bit of a kind of send-off to WADA and Sekimoto. And particularly WADA, because we did kind of talk about Sekimoto last week. As you all know, Yutaka WADA has been the Tigers manager now for 4 seasons, and they finished 5th, 2nd, 2nd, and 3rd under his reign. And, you know, the guy was told a couple weeks ago or a week ago that he would not be renewed for 2016. And so that brings an end to 31 straight years that he has had some connection with the Tigers organization, whether as a player, as a coach, or as a manager. So as much as I didn't like the guy as a manager, I'll give him props for sticking it out with the same team for as long as he did and really just caring about this team. I mean, you don't stay with the same club for 31 years just for the pay. No matter how good it is, it's because you love the team and he wanted this team to win. He just wasn't able to get it done as a manager, which is unfortunate. But from what I understand, he was a pretty popular player. I wasn't around at the time, so I don't know that, but I'll take people's word for it. So, Mr. WADA, as much as we bashed you on the show, I really genuinely appreciate your efforts and I wish you all the best in the future. I just hope that future does not include another stint as manager of the Hanshin Tigers. Any comments, Wizzo?
Yeah, I mean, for WADA, you know, I appreciate all the time he's put into the Hanshin Tigers. I mean, they are today, you know, he had a part in who they are today. I mean, 31 years, that's a long time. And 4 years with this team as a coach, it's tough. You know what I mean? If you're not in first place at the end of the season, you know, hey, that's the expectations of every general manager and owner. You know, the coach is going to be looked at. Hey, how come you guys went to the Nippon Series last year but can't be in first place this year? And, you know, if you can't answer those questions, then maybe you're not the right person for the job. But, yes, thank you for all those years as a player, for building this Hanshin Tigers empire, so to speak. You know, 4 years, you know, it sucks to see him leave, but it's going to be kind of odd next year. You know, looking in they're going to be showing the dugout and it's not WADA sitting there with a straight face. I liked how he kind of came out there and high-fived the players. First one out there to high-five somebody
on an RBI or a home run. And that's what I liked about that, you know. So I'll kind of miss that. But, you know, hey, thank you, Wada. Gambate. And that's all we can say. Move on from that point.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm excited about next year, though. And we will talk in future episodes about who the manager of this club is going to be and what direction the club is heading in, you know, even this offseason, what they're looking to do. So actually, we're going to wrap things up here, Wizzo, because we're kind of running low on time. But I just want to remind the folks about what the plans are for the offseason for H10 as a podcast, as a website, as a Facebook page. Real quick, before we do that, let's just talk Facebook page real quick, Wizzo, because I know we wanted to do this before we signed out. I just want to thank all the Hanshin Tigers English fans out there who have been coming to the Facebook group and commenting game in and game out. We've got some real enthusiasts out there that, you know, just love to share the excitement and love of the game during games, commenting about every hit, every walk, every RBI, every good pitch, you know, even commenting on the bad stuff. But I had a great season with you guys, and I know that I'm not the ideal or the perfect, you know, group leader or group administrator or whatever, but I did the best I could, and I hope you guys enjoyed the setup. I hope you guys enjoyed just, you know, coming together as a community. Wizzo, thanks for being a big part of that, especially early on. I felt like you really, you know, anchored the team at the start and then just carried all the way through.
Hey, you know, I appreciate it. You got me like deeply involved, almost brainwashed, you know, to the point where I'm like, my life is now Hanshin, you know, it's like baseball, Hanshin, you know, it's the first thing I think of, which relayed over to my daughter. But, you know, thank you for all the translations that you've done, the articles you posted, the fans on the page, you know, they've done the same thing, posted great links, great stories, you know, good comments, bad comments. Man, this was a good season for us. I think a lot of us kind of got to know who we kind of are. And the common bond amongst all of us, no matter what, is the are the Hanshin Tigers. So yeah, it was great. Great, great.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I really hope that, you know, in the off season and next season, you know, we can just remain positive. And I know it's a new start for the team with new manager and, you know, the possibility of new players coming in and stuff. But, you know, before we start to jump on every bad decision or every strikeout or every double play or whatever, I mean, let's remember that these guys are trying and they want to win even more badly than we do. So, you know, and I definitely want to make that Facebook group a place where anybody can come and read and laugh and cry and just enjoy themselves. So I really want to keep things as positive as possible. And I know sometimes things kind of spill over, but, you know, we just want to avoid being overly negative or calling players bad names or stuff like that. Because we do have players, families, and friends on the page. And they want to read it without having to read, you know, bad stuff about their friend, their husband, their son, their brother, etc. You know, let's try and keep it clean and keep it classy, as I've said, even on the page itself. Speaking of, you know, players on the page and all that kind of stuff, actually, I was really touched this week because I got a personal message from Matt Merton's wife, and she asked me for my mailing address. And she said, Matt wants to send you some stuff. And so Matt Merton actually, you know, he and his wife prepared like a little package, and they mailed me a package. And so I got an autographed practice jersey. I got a bunch of Matt Merton wristbands, you know, the ones that he likes to give out to the fans at games. I've got like 9 of those. So I'll keep one for myself, maybe one for my son, and the rest will be prizes on H10. I got some kind of Matt Merton business cards for his website. And I got another book that it's only one copy, so I'm keeping it for myself. But, you know, he autographed the cards, he autographed the book, he autographed the jersey for me. And, you know, he even wrote a little message, said, hey, thanks for all your hard work and your support. So, man, that was just so cool. That was like the best reward for the work that I put in this year. So it was really cool, man.
That, you know, when you told me that and, you know, I saw the picture, I was like, that's awesome right there. I mean, the jersey, business cards, that is a awesome package to receive in the mail.
Tells you something about the man that sent it, right? I mean, what a classy individual. And for all the times that we saw him you know, kind of explode on the field or whatever. I mean, the guy's just got a heart of gold, and I've heard it from so many other fans that he just treats his fans really well, just loves interacting with fans and loves making his fans feel good. So thank you so much, Matt Merton. Thank you so much, Stephanie Merton. Appreciate it. We want you back next year. Please, please come back next year. I can't wait to write more stuff about you guys on the page. Of course, positive stuff. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the off season and what we're going to do. Wizzo, I would like to continue this podcast, but maybe not as frequently as we've been doing, because I think once a week is a bit excessive when there's no game action. So we'll probably come at you folks once a month. It might be a little bit more. We will probably come at you guys after some big things, like maybe after the manager gets hired, we do a special show. After the draft, we do a special show. After any acquisitions that happen, before training camp, that kind of stuff. And so just stay posted. If you go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast, you'll get it automatically. If you're on the Facebook group page, you'll see it when it comes up. If you go to the website, of course, I'm going to keep updating in the off season. It's going to be less frequent, but I'll keep updating there as well. So just stay tuned and remain a Tigers fan, even in the off season. But, you know, just like me and Wizzo said earlier, let's use this off season to be family men, family women, and just get out there and enjoy other things as well. Wizzo, it's been so much fun, man, these 12 episodes that we've done, and we're going to keep it going in the off season. But yeah, we'll stay in touch. But any final words for the fans out there?
You know, from the beginning, I said, hey, we just got to be positive, right? We got to stay positive. That's the way we got to be. We got to be positive, because no team out there is going to win 143 games. It's impossible. So
SoftBank came close.
You know, we can always hope and pray that they do that, but it's not going to happen. So we got to stay positive. We just got to cheer them on every time we get the chance. And, you know, before I forget, T-Ray, I want to put the car in reverse here for a minute. For Matt Merton, I want to say thank you. 6 years. I said it on the show. He's the face of Hanshin. And in my memory, he'll always be the face of Hanshin. I don't think anyone can replace the guy. So I made a comment on Twitter. Thank you, Matt Merton, for all the years that you put into Hanshin. Thanks for all the good memories. And so with that being said, good luck in the future. And for all the fans out there, just got to be back here next year. Just know that we might have different players, but the heart is still going to be there. The desire is still going to be there. And the want of the title, first title in 31 years, it's going to be there for us. So we have a chance next year. We need everybody's support and cheering at the games.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for tuning in to the podcast. Send me an email if you ever have a question, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. Start following me on Twitter if you'd like, @thehanshintiger. Wizzo, have you got a Twitter handle that you want to share with the folks?
Yeah, actually, I just started one again. So this one is @Wizzo, and that's WHIZOH, and the OH at the end is for my boy. So it's @Wizzo, WHIZOH, and that is on Twitter.
All right, so you can follow Wizzo on Twitter as well. And again, we got the website always up, www.thehanshintigers.com. Join us on Facebook, H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. We've got a group and a page up there. So there's no excuse. You can follow the Tigers through the off season, and we'll be back in 2016. Cheering them on game by game. Go Tigers, go. See you later, folks.